It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that nobody of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
We've been following the Life Together series over the last number of weeks, trying to grow in our understanding of what it means and how to work out in practice how to be a church that's fitly joined together, to become who we are in Christ and to fulfill the Lord's purposes. It's vital that we make the effort to grow together, to connect more deeply, to grow more intentionally, and to serve sacrificially. If this works. No? Ah, oh, there we go. We identified that the purpose of our church is to become a dwelling place for God. And to fulfill our purpose, each and every one of us, we need to believe that God has placed us here, the living stones that he has chosen and put together. And if we believe that, then we need to find our individual purpose here. Because the church is made up of many parts, you know that. And if one of the parts is not working, the body suffers. It's true, your body can continue to work, but it doesn't work as well if you have injured or inactive parts. So when the church is a fully functioning body, there's not only harmony between us, but there is also an acceleration of the works of God and in the advancing of the kingdom. So today, what I wanted to talk to you about, and that's why I use the children with some of these words, I want to talk to you about growing more intentionally, about taking hold of your own personal growth journey. Your personal journey is part of the whole church growth. Together we are called. Together we are equipped to serve God. The Bible is the manual. You all know that. The instructions are written within. And the Bible urges us to take action. It's full of active, decisive instructions that help us to grow. And that's why I say I want you to take hold of your personal journey, because it doesn't just happen. You have to do it. And the Bible uses phrases like make every effort, put off, speak, get rid of, be imitators, put on the armor, stand firm, take up the shield of faith, be kind, be something, knock, seek, submit, love, obey, rest, abide. These are all action things, all things we're supposed to be doing. You have to do them. Growing takes effort. It takes work. And sometimes it is hard work. But the rewards and the blessings are innumerable. This hard work that you have to put in for personal growth is linked to the whole body growing. And in our reading today, we read, it is God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up. That's mature into Christ, who is the head. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. And the final bit that we need to look at is as each part does its work. As each one of us takes hold of our personal growth. So it's God who's given all the individual gifts. Why? To build us up as God's people, to prepare us for works of service. Why? So that we are stable, mature, and united in Christ. How does that happen? As each part does its work. We're all included in there. So I want you to understand how important your individual growth is. I want you to understand that my spiritual growth is linked to yours, and yours is linked to mine. And this is what the Life Together series has all been about. And you might be asking, well, where do I start? We had the line of children up here, didn't we? To show growth. It's linked in our minds to the growth from conversion, when we accept Jesus as our Saviour, right through to death. That's our personal journey, from conversion to death. And it's that journey that affects what happens in this church. As in the children's talk, there are things we need to grow to enable us to grow into mature Christians, to grow spiritually. We talked about food, the Word of God. We talked about help and instruction. That comes through the Holy Spirit. It comes through what's said here in the pulpit. It comes through others who have gifts and abilities in the church. It comes through the Bible studies that we encourage you to go to. We need exercise, and that exercise is serving and doing things in the church. We need correction and nurturing, both together. Within the fellowship, the Holy Spirit does that sometimes. But in a safe environment of unity, we can correct one another using scriptures. We need experiences. And I'm not sorry to say that Sunday isn't enough. It isn't enough. The bit that you get here isn't enough for you to grow. There are other things you need to do. But we also need failures as well. And we will have them as Christians. But in a safe environment of unity and fellowship, we can find the help we need for correction. All these things are for our growth, individually as well as the church. And the simplest way that I can explain this morning how to put these things into practice and grow as a Christian is something called the disciples' cross. And you can see there Christ in the center, the word on the bottom arrow, prayer on the upward arrow, and witness and fellowship as well. And ministering to others, that is the disciples' cross. Spending time with Christ, spending time with the Master, living in the Word, praying in faith, fellowshipping with believers, and witnessing to the world, ministering to others. This is the simplest way I can show you what I mean. The how-to, the taking up of your cross daily. And we'll break it down a little bit. We'll look at spending time with the Master. This is the first and most important thing. And for a lot of you, this is not new. It's not new information. But I felt it was right to bring this morning. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And I don't need to speak to you much about this, because all the sermons that have gone before culminate in what I'm telling you today. A fear spoke to us about this and asked us if we were connected to the true vine, which is Jesus. And she asked us if we were abiding in him deeply. All I can say is there's no substitute for spending time with God. It's a personal thing. It's how you stay connected to Jesus through your prayer time, your Bible reading, your worship, a constant awareness daily of him being there, and through your fellowship with others. And we often say, don't we, look around you, look around at those around you. Well, actually today, look around you, because God's characteristics can be seen in the people who are here. We all have some of his characteristics in our lives. And as we seek time with the Master, there is an internal change, a spiritual change that happens. So do keep looking at each other and looking for God in each other. But however you do it, we all have different ways. It's most important that we spend time with God, first and foremost. That's the first step. Living in the Word, what do we mean? In John 8, verse 31 to 32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Amen. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You can't hold to Jesus' teaching if you don't know what it is. So how do you find out what Jesus' teaching is? In the Bible. Reading it, memorizing it, studying it to understand it. And that happens personally as we spend time with the Master. It's linked. But also as a body in our home groups, our discovery groups, here in church, in men's groups, men's breakfasts, ladies' fellowship, in the Lent groups. And this is where the gifts begin to come into it that we'll look at later that Mark preached about. There are some of us who can teach us and help us to understand what's in the Word if we don't really understand what we're reading. But you need to live in the Word. You need to know how to find what's in the Word. And if you don't know how to find out, ask somebody for help. There are lots of people here who can help. We also need to pray in faith. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you remain in me, that's our spend time with the Master that we just said. And my words remain in you. That's the living in the Word. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is just prayer. Asking God. It's talking to him. That's all it is. And it's a thing we do individually and it's a thing we do corporately. And I wanted to say that there is no such thing as a bad prayer. There are some people who are afraid to pray. And I felt that I should say this morning, that there is no such thing as a bad prayer. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit translates for us. In Romans 8, it says, in the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. So whatever words are stuttered, stumbled, choked out in an attempt of prayer, it's translated by the Spirit into such a wonderful language that God can understand your heart. So there is never anything wrong with your prayer. There's no such thing as a bad prayer. And I want to tell you something else as well. There's no such thing as a bad prayer. As a bad prayer, the person who prays, there's no such thing as a bad prayer. Because I know this, because God loves talking with his children. And I also know now, as you know, that the Holy Spirit translates what I want to say. So for me, it's a win-win situation. And for you, it's a win-win situation. There's no such thing as a bad prayer or a bad prayer. No such thing. So you can pray in faith. Talk to God, that's all it is. Mumble, choke, cry. All these things are acceptable to God through the Holy Spirit. But prayer is something that we need to do individually for our personal growth in our quiet times. But it's something that we also need to do corporately. And that's why we encourage you to come to the prayer group tomorrow night. Because the Bible actually says in James, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The Bible encourages corporate prayer. So spending time with the Master and living in God's word and praying in faith are part of what we do to take up our daily cross. And the next thing is we do need to fellowship with believers. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus said, I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, so you too are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. So the identifying mark of a disciple of Jesus is love for fellow believers. Love in relationships and harmony, unity, is at the heart of Christ. And generally speaking, you can't love me if you don't know me. And you can't know me if you don't spend time with me. And spending time with me is another word for fellowship. So fellowship with other individuals is important, and fellowship together as a body is important. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Because we have to move beyond our comfort zones to have fellowship. You might have to fit in with my calendar. You might have to do something different because I like fun things like zip wires. You know, inviting me into your life can be a bit of a challenge. And looking round, look at each other, if inviting these people into your lives to have fellowship with them could be quite challenging. But it could also be exciting. We need to have fellowship with other believers. Hebrews 10 tells us, let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and do good deeds, not forsaking our meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Fellowship is about encouragement. Sometimes it's about getting to know one another, so you can love one another, to meet together individually, to get to know each other. But sometimes it's about encouraging one another to grow and to serve with the gifts that you see in people. So spending time with the Master is where we start. Living in the Word, we continue. Praying in faith and fellowshipping with believers And the next thing we need to do as part of our daily cross that we take up is witnessing to the world. John 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, my job's quite easy today, as I've said, because those who've preached before in the last weeks have laid the foundation. And all I need to do is remind you, and this is what Afia preached on. She preached the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control from Galatians. And she told us about how the growing of these fruits in our lives changes. So the things that we do, that others see, the actions that we do, it's how we witness on the front lines. And each one of us has got a different front line. Where you work is your front line. That's where you witness. People watch you if they know you're a Christian. Where you go to school with your children, that's your front line. Meeting other parents, discussing how you bring your children up as a Christian, that's your front line. Going on holiday, on a cruise, if that's what you do a lot, that's your front line. You meet people you've never seen before. You witness with your life, that's your front line. Where we live, if we're at home a lot, that's our front line. That's where we witness. In John 15, verse 6, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Remember what I said earlier about the Bible being full of action words. Here are two more. Go and bear fruit. A bit frightening, isn't it, witnessing? But Jesus said in John 15, the Helper will come. The Spirit who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father, I will send him to you from the Father. And he will speak about me. And you too will speak about me. Here's another action word, speak. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves what the action words are in the Bible. To speak is to witness. That's all it is. We get frightened sometimes when we say we're going out to witness. I don't know why we don't say we're going out to speak about Jesus. It sounds a lot less threatening, doesn't it? And it's not optional for us to witness. It's a command. And I think the more time you spend with the Master, the more natural it becomes just to speak about him, to share about him, and that is your witness. We just have to remember to do it. You know, the disciples were compelled to do it. I was reading the other day in Acts chapter 4. The disciples said, "For we cannot stop speaking of what we ourselves have seen and heard." We cannot stop speaking. And that's because they were close to Jesus. So the closer we are to him, I think it becomes more easier. And when I was thinking about this, I was reading in Romans where it talks about the power of the gospel. Paul says, "I have complete confidence in the gospel. It is God's power to save all who believe, first the Jews and also the Gentiles. For the gospel reveals how God puts right people right with himself." So I don't actually know why we worry so much about the witness part of our Christian life, because actually God's done nearly all the work. The gospel is the power to save, not me. The gospel reveals what people need to know, not me. The gospel has step-by-step instructions to being saved. I don't have to remember it, actually. Just take my Bible along. God does nearly all the work. We just have to be obedient to go. The gospel is it. You've just got to go and speak. Be obedient. And if you're worried about doing that, just read Romans. Because it spells out the journey of becoming a child of God. It goes through the patience God has with us before we know him. It talks about sin, about God's standard, and about what Jesus did for us. And it tells us about the free gift of eternal life and how, if we call on Jesus, we are saved, and how we know we're saved and what we need to do. It's all in there. You don't have to actually remember it. Just take your Bible. You don't need to stress over what to say. It's already in there. And it's true. Witnessing can be hard. Speaking to some people can be hard. Even Jesus said, "Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally, they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you." Not everybody listened to Jesus. Not everybody took on board what he had to say. It's the same for us. It can be hard. But Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28. He came and he said to his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." He commands it and he puts lots of actions in there. Go and make, baptize and teach and obey. But he also said we didn't have to do it in our own strength. Jesus said, "I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me, and you also must testify about me." Speak. Witness. And really, Jesus isn't commanding us to do anything he wasn't willing to do. We always say that as teachers, don't we? Those in the teaching profession and perhaps in the nursing profession. I'm not asking you to do anything I wouldn't do. It's the same with Jesus. Jesus isn't commanding us to do anything he wasn't willing to do. But he recognized that we would need a helper, and so he sent one. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us, to witness to the world. Well, it's just an action we need to get on with. That's all I can say. So spending time with the Master is where we start. Living in the Word and praying in faith and fellowshipping with one another. Witnessing to the world. This is our daily how-to. Jesus spent time with God. Jesus knew the scriptures. Jesus spent time in prayer. Jesus spent time in fellowship. Jesus witnessed to the world around him. But there's something else. Jesus also ministered to others. This is where we develop our giftings and our ministries. By ministering to others. You'll notice that the disciples' cross has arrows on them. And this is the working actions of taking up your daily cross. And again, it's already been preached on. This is nothing new. Maybe I'm repeating it because somebody else needs to hear it again. I'm not sure. But I was sure that I had to repeat quite a bit of this. 2 weeks ago, Mark talked to us about God's dream team. Because doing all these individual things, spending time with the Master, living in the Word, praying in faith, fellowshipping with others, and witnessing to the world are connected. It's from doing all these things that we grow as a disciple. And also, as we grow, we disciple others. It's a natural progression. And what God has placed within us as our gift, our ability, our ministry, begins to flourish and be identified as we change by doing all these things on the disciples' cross, as we are transformed by Jesus. As we are transforming, we should naturally begin to serve others. And it's in doing that that we find the individual ministries that God wants us to move into. As Mark said, we are part of God's dream team, an incredibly gifted group of people here in this place. But it's your responsibility and it's my responsibility to discover and to grow the talents and the gifts and the ministries that God has placed within each one of us as individuals. For some who spend time in the Word, the ministries of teaching and preaching develop. Don't realize it. It's within them from the Holy Spirit, but until they spend time in the Word, they don't realize it. It's a natural progression. For others who spend time in prayer, the ministry of worship evolves, or the ministry of intercession, the ministry of healing. For some who spend a lot of time in fellowship with others, they find that their ministry is one of nurturing, mentoring, discipling, the pastoral things that we need. For some who are bold enough to go out and practice witness, they actually find that their ministry is one of evangelism. But if we don't practice these things daily, we don't find them sometimes. We don't realize what's within us. Through witnessing and spending time in fellowship, some people find that their ministry is simply one of service, of serving others, encouraging others to find their gifts. And so we go back to our reading in Ephesians. It's God who's given these ministries and giftings to us. Why? To help one another grow and mature. So your gift is not necessarily for you. In fact, very often it's not for you. It's for you to live out so that others can grow. It's God who's given these ministries and giftings to us to build one another up in love. God's given us all a part to play in the dream team, in the church body, in Mansfield Baptist Church. We have a responsibility to one another, as well as to God, to serve and to grow. And it's your choice, but it's also your responsibility to find and use your gifts to build us all up. Because the gift you have isn't just for you. It's not for your benefit. Not solely. It's for me. It's for all these other people. It's for God. It's to grow as a body so that we can witness outside the church. So it's your choice, your responsibility to find and use your gifts so that you can build us all up, so that we can advance God's kingdom. And the question that was posed to us 2 weeks ago is, are you in position in God's team? Are you in position in God's team? Because if you're not, then God's got to choose someone else to play your part. And he will. He has substitutes. The body can work without you. Not so well. To be disabled, but God can bring someone else into your place if you're not willing to play a part in the dream team. So it's your responsibility to take hold of what God has given you, because God needs a team that's playing to win. He's the winning side. He's already won, but we're on the winning side anyway. So we need to win the souls to the kingdom that are out there that don't know him. We need to fight with him in this battle to the end. Are you in position in God's team? So it's through doing, spending time with the Master, living in the Word, praying in the faith, fellowshipping with others, and witnessing to the world. It's in doing all these things daily that we grow. And we grow as we are doing these things. And God develops our gifts and our ministries as we spend time with him and with one another. It was said in a service 2 weeks ago that God, by his Holy Spirit, puts a gift within you. It's waiting to be found, to be used. Not all of them are evident straight away. Not all of us have a specific calling to be a prophet or a preacher, but we all have gifts that need finding and nurturing. And it is true that for most of us in the church, we have to grow and develop and learn and listen and just be obedient to what God says. And that's how our gifts flourish. And very often it's other people that can see them within you before you can. But they are there. We're all called to be a disciple of Christ. And a true disciple of Christ is one who is totally loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is totally committed to Jesus and his cause. A disciple is someone who identifies with Jesus and his cause, whether it's popular or not. Being a disciple is to daily take up your cross and follow him, to spend time with him, to read his word, to pray to him, to meet with his family, to witness to those future family members, and to minister to one another. And help is always at hand. If you're wondering, where do I go from here? What's my gift? I'm ready for the next step, but I really don't know what it is. Help is always at hand. Why do we have so many gifts within the church? So that we can build one another up to start off with. We have people around us who have some of the answers we need. God has already provided some of the answers. They're in his word, but they're within us with the gifts that we have. And you don't just have to speak to Mark sometimes. We have deacons and leaders. We have people who have pastoral responsibility. These are the giftings that God has placed within our church. And these are the people you can turn to. And sometimes you can just turn to one another and ask for prayer, because you might be surprised who's got something to say from God. There are opportunities to be mentored if that's what you need. People who can walk beside you. And there are also opportunities if you start to think, I know what my gift is, I think I know, and you want an opportunity to try. Within the body of the church, there's loads of things you can try. And just by saying, I'd like to go with you on a visit to visit someone, doesn't mean you automatically get a label slapped on and that's who you are. You're a pastoral visitor. It's not like that. You can try. You can try all your gifts. So just ask. And we're going to be running some small workshops on these things about how to spend time with the Master, how to pray in faith, how to live in the Word. We're going to run some workshops which are more of a safe place where you can ask questions. But it's not about really being taught, it's about finding out for yourself. So just ask if you need help with any of these things. But I want to encourage you this morning to actually take hold of your own personal growth journey. And I'm asking you to do this because it's important for you as an individual. But it's also important for me and for everybody else in this room. Because we all need to be responsible players in God's team, which is our family here. It is our church. Because don't forget, when Jesus returns, will you be able to say you have found, nurtured, and used the talents that he's given you? Will you be able to say that you've done that? Or will you be the one that buried them?